You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Nearly one in four American workers are being asked to sign a non-compete agreement when taking a new job. This used to be reserved for CEOs and TV anchors, but not anymore. An article in Fortune reported Jimmy John's, the sandwich chain, has a non-compete clause which would, for 2 years, prevent former employees from working at any nearby restaurant that gets at least 10% of its revenue from sandwiches. It makes it kind of hard to get that next minimum wage job. Joining us to talk about some of the things you should keep in mind if you're asked to sign a non-compete agreement is Norman Bishara. He's an associate professor at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Before we talk about your five recommendations that I want to get to right away, why are employers using these non-competes more often?
Employers like the idea of keeping their secrets. And so there's general protection in the law, but they also want to protect it by contract because so much of what's being done in kind of the new knowledge economy is based on the workers' knowledge and innovative skills and human capital. One of the main sources of competitive advantage is the employees. So employers, I think, are increasingly using non-competes to go after employees that leave for competitors.
So let's get down to your recommendations. Let's say you're getting that new job you were hoping to get. You have to sign a lot of paperwork. What do you look for?
First thing is ask for it up front, read it and look at it. Amazingly, a lot of people don't read these contracts that could have a huge impact on the rest of their career, right? So if they're locking themselves up, they're giving away a lot for after they leave. First thing is read it and actually kind of figure out what you're being asked to give up. Don't imagine that these things are stock contracts. In fact, sometimes you can negotiate over them as well.
What's the worst that could happen if you just go ahead and sign it?
Well, if you're signing it, you're agreeing to it. So many people do sign these, and then years later, they forget that they've signed it. And then when they want to leave for a competitor, you know, they may do that and then get this nasty lawyer letter. So worst case scenario, and you see this, there's an example recently about a reporter, so someone in your field, someone who was a reporter particularly focused on legal issues, left Bloomberg to go to blogs they called Lost 360 to a more of an internet site, ended up having her job offer revoked and had to lost her second job because the second employer didn't know that she had a non-compete.
That's a nasty surprise. So are non-compete agreements enforced the same everywhere? You mentioned different states do different things.
Yeah, I mean, from an academics perspective, it's really interesting because states are doing very different things. And these things have been around for hundreds of years. They come from, so the old common law in England, these cases about, you know, bakers' apprentices leaving and starting competing bakeries, that sort of thing. But clearly they're being used all over the country with all different types of workers. So the interesting one people often point to is California has had a longstanding policy banning these. It's just the way the law in California has really almost always been since entered statehood. And so people point to this as a reason why Silicon Valley maybe has grown up because of high mobility, high velocity labor mobility. So people jump between firms really easily without barriers, and they take ideas with them and their personal skills, and that's just kind of the entrepreneurial culture, at least in that sort of high-tech Silicon Valley area.
So they're saying it could impair the economic growth of the nation, it sounds like.
There are these arguments. So this is sort of being sorted out. I think it's a complex question. So clearly, everybody can't change their laws and become Silicon Valley in a heartbeat, right? So states that try to say we should ban these without thinking what the implications are, because clearly are useful for some business activity. They're called non-competes, so they're by their nature anti-competitive, and so courts are always sort of skeptical. And so most states, including Michigan, will look at this classic reasonableness test and balance the different factors. So they want to make sure that there is a protectable interest, that the business is actually using this for some reason, that they're protecting this interest. And then the scope, they'll look at the actual terms. So courts will say, you know, is this reasonable? And they'll look particularly at the geographic scope as well as the time limitation. And so, you know, a 10-year non-compete for Jimmy John's worker clearly is going to be thrown out. A 2-year probably as well, although those contracts, they seem bad.
It wasn't never been in Illinois. It was
everywhere, right? Yeah, but the thing I'll just point out about Jimmy John's case is the workers have brought this lawsuit, but it's actually not really going anywhere because courts are skeptical because Jimmy John's has actually never tried to enforce them, which is still a policy problem because Jimmy John's is maybe using these to essentially threaten their workers to not go.
So I want this new job, but should I take a moment before signing the documents? I mean, should I question them? Should I take the paperwork to a lawyer? Things could get kind of tense and I might lose this opportunity.
Yeah, certainly you need to avoid being surprised. So I think, you know, just being up for the general good business advice for when you're starting your job is, you know, ask what you're being asked to sign. You can be subtle about it and go into the employer and say, you know, when I show up on the first day, what am I going to have to sign? And dig a little deeper, especially if you're in a field where non-competes are common. You want to know that up front because that's part of, you know, what you're giving up for this job. You're clearly going to get lots of benefits for any job you take, the salary, the wages, the experience. But you're giving something up that could be years after you leave, months, even up to 2 or 3 years after you leave. So you really want to be able to think through that up front. And also, I think it's really important to know the law. If the stakes are high enough, you should go talk to a lawyer and take that contract terms. And any employer that really wants you should give you that breathing room. So some states are also moving to a situation where the new laws that require a notice period so workers know going in that they're going to be asked to sign this thing. Oftentimes, and this seems really unfair, workers are asked on the first day. So you get a big packet of papers that say, you know, here's your health care stuff, here's your pension plan. Oh, by the way, here's the handbook, and please sign this, including you're not going to use our information because you're going to be loyal, right? And so people are often like, oh, I just want to be that sort of go-along, get-along new employee, and they'll sign stuff without even reading it or taking the time to consider what the implications are.
So I've signed it. I get another even better opportunity. What do I do now?
So this is a complex question for anybody when you take a new job, but if you have this restriction, you've pre-given up the right to move to competitor. So the first thing is to stand back and say, is my new job going to be competing with my old job? So you want to pull out your contract first, so keep a copy and know where it is so you can actually see what you agreed to in terms of what the scope is, what the risk is if you leave, if you're really leaving for competitor. And then I think it's also important to really speak up and negotiate at the front end, but also the back end. So if you think you might have some ambiguity, go talk to your employer once you've gotten this other job secured, because, and you want to be upfront too with the new employer because they don't want to be surprised by this as well. So I think it's partly just an issue of, you know, when you sign a contract, especially these ones that have huge implications, be thoughtful, think through it, and know what you're giving up, and also keep that in mind because, quite frankly, these could have really long-lasting effects on your career.
Norman Bashara is an associate professor at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Thanks for coming in.
Great. Thank you, Lester.